place that we're going through the idea of we're not just seeking sobriety, we're seeking freedom from our destructive habits and addictions, and that freedom comes through personal transformation. So we need to learn to walk with God in order to have lasting victory. If you just turn it down a little bit, it's almost too much. So walking with God, and walking means to take repeated steps. So we have to identify that there's steps that God wants us to take in order to develop our personal walk with Him. And so we're going to focus on another 7 steps, and that's becoming men and women with a separated walk. And so we want to understand what that actually means. And so comes from this verse in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" It says, "Come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And so we see God calling us to be separate, and to say that we're not to be unequally yoked, and so we can't have fellowship of righteousness with unrighteousness. So we want to understand what that means and how we apply that to our life, especially when it comes in terms of addiction and gaining freedom from it. And so we think of principle number 6, where it's, we looked at this at the start of our time together. Those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. Right? And so we understand that principle, that if we're trying to do right, we want to have people around us that are want encouraging us to do right. If they have the other, going in the other direction, they're not going to help us get where we want to go. And so as we take steps out of addiction, naturally, we think of other people that we're our friends, kind of our partners in crime, and we want them to get out of that same lifestyle. We should have that desire. And so we kind of have this mindset, oh, well, I'm going to help them, I'm going to rescue them. But we kind of want to think about it in this way, that while we might be hoping to help them out, we want to realize that they might be working to drag us back in. Because sometimes it can be kind of that crab bucket mentality, right? Where you're starting to make progress, but it makes them feel bad. And so it's like if they can pull you back, that means they don't have to necessarily deal with their issues, right? And that's not a good thing, but that is the way it is. And so we have to be aware of that and not kind of have this idea, oh yeah, I'm just going to be able to march right in and they're just going to go along with what I want them to do. And so we have to make a choice of who we're going to walk with in life. And so if we're going to walk with God, then we have to realize we can't walk with those that are running away from and scorning God. Right? They're going in a different direction, so it's not going to work. And so that's, we see from Psalm 1 where it's, "Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That we have that separation from them, and we're blessed if we are deciding not to go along with what they do. James 4:4 gives you the idea that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and so we want to be careful with that as well. And so we also want to realize that we're shaped by the people that we spend the most time with. And so, for our own good and also for our own safety, we need to wisely choose who we're close companions with. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And so we want to be wise, so we have to find wise people to walk with. And if we're a companion of fools, there, it's not just something where people getting into some trouble, but it'll be okay. No, it could be something very serious, because if you do something very foolish, it can be fatal. And there's plenty of instances we can probably think of people where they thought, oh, yeah, we're just going to have this fun, and it ended up tragically. And so we have to realize that in life. That's part of just making good decisions, deciding, okay, if I'm with this group of people, where are we going to be going? If it's not a good place, then maybe I need to find a different group to go with that'll get me to a better place in life. And so it talks about not being yoked together with unbelievers. It's the idea of being yoked together is like being partnered with. Because you think of how it was, is a lot of times if they're trying to carry heavy loads different places, they would have two oxen yoked together. And they would help each other. They would work together as a team, pulling the load in a certain direction, right? And the thing is, it's like if you want to be able to work as a team, you want to be able to partner with one another. And if the person's wanting to go in the opposite direction, what's going to happen, right? You're actually not going to get anywhere. And it's going to be very frustrating for both of you. And it says Amos 3 verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we realize, yeah, that just doesn't work. Like if you have different mindsets, different goals in life, it's not really going to work, right? And so what we're seeking for is people that we can have fellowship with. And what does the word fellowship mean? It's the idea, when you kind of think of it, to break it apart, of like fellowship, a ship of fellows kind of thing almost. And so it's the idea you're in the same boat and you're all rowing in the same direction. And an example we can think of this is like, if any of us have ever seen those dragon boat races, right? Where if you have a team where everybody is rowing at exactly the same time, they're rowing in unison, and that's why usually they have some guy at the front of the boat where he's either beating on a drum or yelling at a certain time, and it's so that you can all work as one. And so that's what you want to do. You want to get somewhere in life, you want to accomplish something, you want to have where everybody's pulling and pulling at the same time in the same direction. Because if you have people that are arguing about which way to go and when to row, like, you'd probably just see that boat just kind of go in circles, and it would be embarrassing because it would never get even close to the finish line. And so that's what we want. We want to have fellowship. And so we're saying, okay, I'm in this race of life, and I want to get to the finish line, and who can I have that's going to be part of a team that we can work together to do that? And so another thing, too, with this idea of having a separated walk is that we always think of the idea of separating from something, and that's true, but we also want to understand the principle that we're separated unto something, and specifically we're separated unto God. And that's that's so often that we miss the point, is like we're separated from the world. And for some, they even take it to the point, you think of like monasteries and things, where it's basically, I'm going to cut myself off from the world so that it doesn't corrupt me, right? But the thing is, we realize, well, wait a minute, God says we're going to go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? So we can't cut ourselves off that far, right? And this idea we separate from the world is so that we can be separated unto God. And we're doing that so that then we can reach the world, right? Because the more time we spend with God, then the more equipped we are to help others later. And so we really want to think of it, our time with God, it's like He's preparing us and giving us the training so that we could be part of His search and rescue team, okay? But we have to have his training and be able to do that. We try to do it ourselves, it's just not going to work out. And so we want to learn how to actually have this. So I just want to give a few thoughts with this. So first of all, we want to establish, okay, what is the direction I want to head in life? And for us dealing with bad habits, it's like I want to move away from this bad habit. And I want to move towards God, move towards his abundant life. And so once we set on a direction that we're wanting to go, we set some focus and purpose to our life, then we need to look around. Okay, who around me is also heading in that same direction? And I need to find those individuals so I can walk with them, right? That we can be companions on our travel together. I'm reminded of Pilgrim's Progress, of how Pilgrim, as he went, that a lot of times he found different ones that were able to be his companions on the journey, right? And that's the idea of it, is we need to look for that and really kind of realize that God often puts people in our lives to be those companions at different stages in our life. And so we need to find that, and then sometimes we realize, okay, maybe with my current circle of acquaintances and people who I used to think of as friends that I'm kind of evaluating, not are my best friends that I would have thought before. Maybe I need to kind of get my circle a bit bigger and see, okay, is there other people around that maybe I need to connect with that could be this help to me, this fellow companion in travel. And it's a thought, too, is that in a day, we have different responsibilities, and like there's over 7 billion people in this world, right? And we can't spend time. It's impossible to spend time with all of them, right? And it's the thing, is that we have to kind of say, okay, if I'm going to spend my limited time with people, I need to spend that time wisely. And so we need to evaluate the relationships that we have. And so when we look at a relationship, is this relationship good for me? Is this relationship helping me? Or is it toxic? Is this relationship actually harmful to me? And that's sometimes that we realize that we have sort of friendship with people, we're kind of partners in crime together, but it almost seems that it's like when we get together, bad things always happen. And so we realize, okay, maybe we're not good for each other right now in our mindset, and so we should maybe kind of separate in that relationship for our own good, because we don't, when we mix together, bad things happen. It's kind of like a chemical reaction that happens, where if you kept the two things separate, everything would be good, but once they're together, then you get an explosion. And so we think of that. Do we spend less time with relationships we identify as being toxic and harmful? But as well, we say, okay, are there other relationships that are encouraging, that are beneficial, that are helping me on this path, getting out of addiction, towards the life God wants for me? Well, I need to spend more time in those, because if that's where I want to go in life, I need that encouragement, that boost. And so we want to think about that and understanding what relationships are unhealthy. And so this is a thought, too, because we would clearly identify if someone is pulling us back into our addiction, is always trying to tempt us in that way. like I remember in times past, I know with Jesse, like where it was like when he was making the decisions to trying to get away from drugs, where he had all these guys that were suddenly his friends that were showing up at his house offering him stuff, whereas before it's like they hardly even acknowledged him, it seemed, right? And so you want to realize those people, okay, they're not going to help me, and so I need to say no, kind of push them away. But we also want to realize that if we have someone in our life that's always negative, that is like very bitter about life, that's critical always about other people, that's very divisive and sowing discord, we want to realize those people are toxic too. And the Bible warns us that, that if we're to mark those that cause divisions and we're to avoid them. And we got to be aware if there's a root of bitterness that, that springs up, it can trouble us, and many can be defiled. And so we want to think about that. And so it could be somebody, even someone that, it could be someone that's maybe has gone to church their whole life, right? But they can just have gotten that negative, critical spirit. And we want to realize, okay, this person in many ways is as much an addict as the other person, that that's what their addiction is their bitterness, right? They need to be set free from that. And so you pray for them, but you realize, yeah, if I spend a whole bunch of time with them, that I'm going to tend to have that mindset of being bitter and vindictive and finding fault with everyone else. But then as well, we want to understand that in this idea of having a separated walk, our goal is not to shut people out of our lives completely, where we just kind of dump people, because we can have that sometimes in life where it's sort of like, okay, this person, we have a tendency in our flesh to use people, right? And we use them as long as they have a use to us, but then if we find they've outlived their usefulness, then we dump them and find new friends. And so we don't want to be guilty of that, right? We don't want people to think that's what we're doing. But instead we want to understand what we're trying to do is setting healthy boundaries in our relationships, right? Because if we have different people in our life that are always pulling us down, always trying to pull us away, it makes it very difficult to really grow and flourish in life. It's kind of it's kind of the thing, like where you could think of like a plant you're trying to grow in the garden, and there's all these other things growing around it that are trying to choke it out all the time, and you're pulling weeds all the time just to try to get it to thrive. Where sometimes it's like, okay, if you can actually move it to a place and where there's, it has, you put it in like a greenhouse, right, where it can get that prime growing conditions, then it can do so much better. And so that's the thing, is it's almost like where we're getting pulled out of the weedy patches of the world, we're getting put into God's greenhouse, that then we can get big and strong. Because that's kind of the thing, like, we recognize that when you're weeding a garden, right, that to start with, you're fighting the weeds all the time, but when things get established, instead of the weeds choking them out, a lot of times they start choking the weeds up, right? And that's where you want to get to in life, but it takes time, and you need to have that nurturing time for that to happen. And so that's the idea, is like, we realize for my own good and for this person's eventual good, I need to have this time to be able to grow and flourish. And so as we grow and flourish and we change, people see that change, they'll see what we have, and they'll want what we have. And then at that point, then our relationship is going to be strong enough with the Lord that we can then help them effectively. That it isn't where we're trying in our own strength, but instead it's God's teaching us how to be that help that we need to be. And so, making that choice to have a separated walk is not easy. And a lot of times when we do make that choice, it can be hard for others to understand, and they might take it the wrong way, they might try to think, oh, you're just saying you're better than us and get upset. But we realize that it's a necessary step we have to take, because often our attempts at rescuing each other in our own strength end up in failure and even disaster. And I'm reminded of this one tragedy saw on the news a few years back. And what happened is there was this this tank, and what happened was somehow some kind of gas had got into the tank. So it was a confined space, and so anybody going into that tank, there wasn't enough oxygen. So as soon as they got down there, if they didn't have some kind of air provision of like oxygen, then they would suffocate and pass out. And so what happened is one guy went down in the tank and right away suffocated and passed out. And so then guys were like, oh, where's Bob? And so a guy goes up and it's like, oh, Bob. And so he goes to rush down to grab Bob and pull him out of the tank. But then, of course, he suffocates and collapses. And by the time it was done, there was probably four or five guys that ended up dying as a result, because they were in a rush. Well, I got to go rush in and save this person. But they didn't have what was necessary to save that person, and they end up losing their own life. And that's kind of a principle that you have with first aid, that it's like, if you have to kind of have some self-preservation in mind, because if you put yourself in danger to save someone else, what's probably going to happen, instead of being one person that needs saving, there's going to be two people that need saving. And so we really have to recognize that. And that's sometimes what happens. And a lot of times that can be what can happen when it comes to helping people with addictions. I know that's something that they advise against. Like, say if you have like a man and a woman both attending RU, they think, oh, well, they're falling in love with each other and we'll support each other and everything. That a lot of times what will happen is when we haven't really gotten strengthened, that they end up actually pulling each other down, and where they don't actually successfully make it through the program because of that. And so we have to be aware of that. And it's this thought that kind of two things in life is that we can't be someone's judge and we can't be someone else's savior. And the reason why is because those positions are already taken. Only God is the real judge of everyone, and only Jesus is the real savior. And so we have to kind of realize that I can't save this person myself. They need God to save them. And it's kind of like, you'd think of it this way, that you see someone that's drowning, right? And you quick want to rush in to rescue them. But if you're not a strong swimmer yourself, and especially if you've just been pulled out of the water yourself, are you going to have the strength to be able to pull that person to shore? Probably not. And especially when someone's panicking, they might actually push you under as you're trying to save them. And so it's realizing, okay, I need God to save them. And of course, he has a strong arm, and he can get out to them more than we can. He can reach them much better than we can and bring them to safety. And so we want to realize that if I make the right choices, I take the necessary steps moving away from the world towards Jesus, who is our only Savior, what we're doing is we lay out a path others can follow to find the deliverance they need. Where they kind of see, okay, this person was in trouble, they cried out to Jesus, and now their life is changing. And they realize, hey, if I cry out to Jesus, he'll be there for me as he was for this person, and I can get the help. And so it's, excuse me, it's not something necessarily we understand, and it almost seems kind of counterintuitive, but as we follow what the Lord's saying, we realize this is necessary. If we want to help these people, we need to take these steps. And that's what Brother Kingsbury talked about with Steve Currington, that he took these steps, but then a lot of these guys that were his kind of partners in crime in times past, when they hit rock bottom, Steve was the one they came to, and he was able to lead them to the Lord, able to help them, and they're serving today in Rockford. And so it's following God's path and realizing he asks us to do this for a reason, and the results will be worthwhile in the end when we follow them.